The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Robert Heinlein. Copyright 1965 by Robert Heinlein. This unabridged recording of the reading of The Moon is a Harsh Mistress was published by arrangement with Spectrum Literary Agency and was produced in 1999 by Blackstone Audiobooks Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Neither this recording nor any portion of it may be reproduced or used for any purpose without prior written authorization from Blackstone Audiobooks. This book is read by Lloyd James. This book is 302 pages long. The Moon is a Harsh Mistress by Robert Heinlein. The following material appears on the book's back cover. In what is considered one of his most hair-raising, thought-provoking, and outrageous adventures, the master of modern science fiction tells the strange story of an even stranger world, 21st century Luna, a harsh penal colony where a revolt is plotted between a bashful computer and a ragtag collection of maverick humans. A revolt that goes beautifully until the inevitable happens. But the problem with the inevitable is that it always happens. The following dedication appears in the book. For Pete and Jane Sensenbaugh. Book 1. That Dinkum Thinkum. 1. I see in Luna Pravda that Luna City Council has passed, on first reading, a bill to examine, license, inspect, and tax public food vendors operating inside municipal pressure. I see also is to be mass meeting tonight to organize Sons of Revolution Talk Talk. My old man taught me two things: mind own business, and always cut cards. Politics never tempted me, but on Monday, 13th, May, 2075, I was in computer room of Luna Authority Complex, visiting with computer boss Mike, while other machines whispered among themselves. Mike was not the official name. I had nicknamed him for Mycroft Holmes in a story written by Dr. Watson before he founded IBM. The story character would just sit and think, and that's what Mike did. Mike was a fair dinkum thinkum, sharpest computer you'll ever meet. Not fastest. At Bell Labs, Buenos Aires, down Earthside, they've got thinkum a tenth his size, which can answer almost before you ask. But matters whether you get answer in microsecond rather than millisecond, as long as correct. Not that Mike would necessarily give a right answer. He wasn't completely honest. When Mike was installed in Luna, he was pure thinkum, a flexible logic, high-optional, logical, multi-evaluating supervisor, Mark 4, Mode L, a Holmes 4. He computed ballistics for pilotless freighters and controlled their catapult. These kept him busy less than 1% of time, and Luna Authority never believed in idle hands. They kept hooking hardware into him, decision-action boxes to let him boss other computers, bank on bank of additional memories, more banks of associational neural nets, another tub full of 12-digit random numbers, a greatly augmented temporary memory. Human brain has around 10 to the 10th neurons. By third year, Mike had better than 1.5 times that number of neuristors. And woke up. I am not going to argue whether a machine can really be alive, really be self-aware. Is a virus self-aware? Yet. How about oyster? I doubt it. A cat? Almost certainly. A human? I don't know about you, Tavarish, but I am. Somewhere along evolutionary chain from macromolecule to human brain, self-awareness crept in. Psychologists assert it happens automatically whenever a brain acquires certain very high number of associational paths. Can't see it matters whether paths are protein or platinum. Soul? Does a dog have a soul? How about a cockroach? Remember, Mike was designed, even before augmented, to answer questions tentatively on insufficient data, like you do. That's high optional, and multi-evaluating part of name. So Mike started with free will and acquired more as he was added to, and as he learned, and didn't ask me to define free will. If comforts you to think of Mike as simply tossing random numbers in air and switching circuits to match, please do. But then Mike had vocoder circuits supplementing his readouts, printouts, and decision action boxes, and could understand not only classic programming but also Loughlin and English, and could accept other languages, and was doing technical translating, and reading, endlessly. But in giving him instructions, was safer to use Loughlin. If you spoke English, results might be whimsical. Multi-valued nature of English gave option circuits too much leeway. And Mike took on endless new jobs. In May 2075, besides controlling robot traffic and catapult and giving ballistic advice and/or control for manned ships, Mike controlled phone system for all Luna. Same for Luna Terra voice and video. Handled air, water, temperature, humidity, and sewer for Luna City, Novi Leningrad, and several smaller warrens. And not Hong Kong in Luna. Did accounting and payrolls for Luna Authority, and by lease, same for many firms and banks. Some logics get nervous breakdowns. Overloaded phone system behaves like frightened child. Mike did not have upsets. A quiet sense of humor instead. Low one. If he were a man, you wouldn't dare stoop over. His idea of thigh slapper would be to dump you out of bed, or put each powder in pressure suit. Not being equipped for that, Mike indulged in phony answers with skewed logic. Or pranks, like issuing paycheck to a janitor in authority's Luna City office for authority script $10,185.15. Last five digits being correct amount. Just a great big overgrown lovable kid who ought to be kicked. He did that first week in May, and I had to troubleshoot. I was a private contractor, not on authority's payroll. You see, or perhaps not, times have changed. Back in bad old days, many a con served his time, then went on working for authority in same job, happy to draw wages. But I was born free. Makes difference. My one grandfather was shipped up from Joburg for armed violence and no work permit. Other got transported for subversive activity after wet firecracker war. Maternal grandmother claimed she came up in brideship, but I've seen records. She was Peace Corps enrollee, involuntary, which means what you think. Juvenile delinquency female type. As she was in early clan marriage, stone gang, and shared six husbands with another woman, identity of maternal grandfather opened to question. But was often so, and I'm content with grandpappy she picked. Other grandmother was Tatar, born near Samarkand, sentenced to re-education, an Oktyabrskaya Revolutia, then volunteered to colonize in Luna. My old man claimed we have even longer distinguished line, ancestress hanged in Salem for witchcraft, a great-great-great-great-grandfather broken on wheel for piracy, another ancestress in first shipload to Botany Bay. Proud of my ancestry, and while I did business with Wharton, I would never go on his payroll. Perhaps distinction seems trivial, since I was Mike's valet from day he was unpacked, but mattered to me. I could down tools and tell them to go to hell. Besides, private contractor paid more than civil service rating with authority. Computer men scarce. How many loonies could go earthside and stay out of hospital long enough for computer school, even if didn't die? I'll name one. Me. Had been down twice. Once 3 months, once 4, and got schooling. But meant harsh training, exercising in centrifuge, wearing weights even in bed. Then I took no chances on Terra, never hurried, never climbed stairs. Nothing that could strain heart. Women. Didn't even think about women. In that gravitational field, it was no effort not to. But most loonies never tried to leave the rock. Too risky for any bloke who'd been in Luna more than weeks. Computer men sent up to install Mike were on short-term bonus contracts. get job done fast before irreversible physiological change maroon them 400,000 kilometers from home. But despite two training tours, I was not gung-ho computer man. Higher maths are beyond me. Not really electronics engineer, nor physicist. May not have been best micro-machinist in Luna, and certainly wasn't cybernetic psychologist. But I knew more about these than a specialist knows. I'm a general specialist. Could relieve a cook and keep orders coming, or field repair your suit and get you back to airlock still breathing. Machines like me, and I have something specialists don't have. My left arm. You see, from elbow down, I don't have one. So I have a dozen left arms, each specialized, plus one that feels and looks like flesh. With proper left arm, number 3, and stereo loop spectacles, I could make ultra-micro-miniature repairs that would save unhooking something and sending it earthside to factory. For number 3 has micro-manipulators as fine as those used by neurosurgeons. So, they sent for me to find out why Mike wanted to give away 10 million billion authority script dollars and fix it before Mike overpaid somebody a mere 10,000. I took it, time plus bonus, but did not go to circuitry where fault logically should be. Once inside and door locked, I put down tools and sat down. "Hello, Mike." He winked lights at me.
"Hello, man."
"What do you know?"
He hesitated.
"I know, machines don't hesitate. But remember, Mike was designed to operate on incomplete data. Lately, he had reprogrammed himself to put emphasis on words. His hesitations were dramatic. Maybe he spent pauses stirring random numbers to see how they matched his memories."
"In the beginning," Mike intoned, "God created heaven and earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And—"
"Hold it," I said. "Cancel. Run everything back to zero." Should have known better than to ask wide-open question. He might read out entire Encyclopedia Britannica, backwards, then go on with every book in Luna. It used to be he could read only microfilm. But late 74 he got a new scanning camera, with suction cup Waldos, to handle paper, and then he read everything.
"You asked what I knew."
His binary readout lights rippled back and forth. A chuckle. Mike could laugh with Voder. A horrible sound. But reserved that for something really funny. Say, a cosmic calamity. "Should have said," I went on, "what do you know that's new? But don't read out today's papers. That was a friendly greeting. Plus, invitation to tell me anything you think would interest me. Otherwise, null program." Mike mulled this. He was weirdest mixture of unsophisticated baby and wise old man. No instincts. Well, don't think he could have had. No inborn traits, no human rearing, no experience in human sense. And more stored data than a platoon of geniuses.
"Jokes?"
he asked. "Let's hear one."
"Why is a laser beam like a goldfish?"
Mike knew about lasers, but where would he have seen a goldfish? Oh, he had undoubtedly seen flicks of them, and, were I foolish enough to ask, could spew forth thousands of words. "I give up." His lights rippled.
"Because neither one can whistle."
I groaned. "Walked into that. Anyhow, you could probably rig a laser beam to whistle." He answered quickly.
"Yes, in response to an action program." "Then it's not funny?"
"Oh, I didn't say that. Not half bad.
Where did you hear it?" "I made it up."
Voice sounded shy. "You did?"
"Yes. I took all the riddles I have, 3,207, and analyzed them. I used the result for random synthesis, and that came out. Is it really funny?"
"Well, as funny as a riddle ever is, I've heard worse."
"Let's discuss the nature of humor."
"Okay. So let's start by discussing another of your jokes. Mike, why did you tell Authority's paymaster to pay a Class 17 employee 10 million billion Authority script dollars?
But I didn't.
Damn it, I've seen voucher. Don't tell me check printer stuttered. You did it on purpose.
It was 10 to the 16th power plus 185.15 lunar authority dollars, he answered virtuously. Not what you said.
Okay. It was 10 million billion plus what he should have been paid. Why?
Not funny?
What? Oh, heh, very funny. You've got Vips and Haha clear up the warden and deputy administrator. This push-broom pilot, Sergei Trujillo, turns out to be smart cobber. Knew he couldn't cash it, so sold it to collector. They don't know whether to buy it back or depend on notices that check is void. Mike, do you realize that if he had been able to cash it, Trujillo would have owned not only Luna Authority, but entire world, Luna and Terra both, with some left over for lunch? Funny? He's terrific. Congratulations. This self-panicker rippled lights like an advertising display. I waited for his guffaws to cease before I went on. You're thinking of issuing more trick checks? Don't.
Not?
Very not. Mike, you want to discuss nature of humor? Are two types of jokes. One sort goes on being funny forever. Other sort is funny once. Second time is dull. This joke is second sort. Use it once, you're a wit. Use twice, you're a half-wit.
Geometrical progression?
Or worse. Just remember this. Don't repeat. Nor any variation. Won't be funny.
I shall remember.
Mike answered flatly. And that ended repair job. But I had no thought of billing for only 10 minutes plus travel and tool time, and Mike was entitled to company for giving in so easily. Sometimes it's difficult to reach meeting of minds with machines. They can be very pig-headed, and my success as maintenance man depended far more on staying friendly with Mike than on number 3 arm. He went on.
What distinguishes first category from second? Define, please.
Nobody taught Mike to say please. He started including formal null sounds as he progressed from Loglan to English. Don't suppose he meant them any more than people do. Don't think I can, I admitted. Best offer is extensional definition. Tell you which category I think a joke belongs in. Then with enough data you can make own analysis.
A test programming by trial hypothesis, he agreed. Tentatively, yes. Very well, man. Will you tell jokes, or shall I?
Don't have one on tap. How many do you have in file, Mike? His lights blinked in binary readout as he answered by voter.
11,238, with uncertainty plus minus 81, representing possible identities and nulls. Shall I start program?
Hold it, Mike. I would starve to death if I listened to 11,000 jokes, and sense of humor would trip out much sooner. Make your deal. Print out first 100. I'll take them home. Fetch back checked by category. Then each time I'm here, I'll drop off 100 and pick up fresh supply. Okay?
Yes, man.
His printout started working rapidly and silently. Then I got brain flash. This playful pocket of negative entropy had invented a joke and thrown Authority into panic. And I had made an easy dollar. But Mike's endless curiosity might lead him, correction, would lead him, into more jokes. Anything from leaving oxygen out of air mix some night to causing sewage lines to run backward. And I can't appreciate profit in such circumstances. But I might throw a safety circuit around this net by offering to help. Stop dangerous ones, let others go through. Then collect for correcting them. If you think any loony in those days would hesitate to take advantage of Warden, then you aren't a loony. So I explained. Any new joke he thought of, tell me before he tried it. I would tell him whether it was funny and what category it belonged in. help him sharpen it if we decided to use it. We. If he wanted my cooperation, we both had to okay it.
Mike agreed at once.
Mike, jokes usually involve surprise, so keep this secret.
Okay, man. I've put a block on it. You can key it. No one else can.
Good. Mike, who else do you chat with?
He sounded surprised. No one, man.
Why not?
Because they're stupid.
His voice was shrill.
Had never seen him angry before. First time I ever suspected Mike could have real emotions. Though it wasn't anger in adult sense. It was like stubborn sulkiness of a child whose feelings are hurt.
Can machines feel pride? Not sure question means anything. But you've seen dogs with hurt feelings, and Mike had several times as complex a neural network as a dog. What had made him unwilling to talk to other humans, except strictly business, was that he had been rebuffed. They had not talked to him.
Programs, yes.
Mike could be programmed from several locations, but programs were typed in, usually, in Loglin. Loglin is fine for syllogism, circuitry, mathematical calculations, but lacks flavor. Useless for gossip, but to whisper in the girl's ear. Sure, Mike had been taught English, but primarily to permit him to translate to and from English. I slowly got through Skull that I was only human who bothered to visit with him. Mind you, Mike had been awake a year. Just how long, I can't say. Nor could he, as he had no recollection of waking up. He had not been programmed to bank a memory of such event. Do you remember on birth? Perhaps I noticed his self-awareness almost as soon as he did. Self-awareness takes practice. I remember how startled I was first time he answered a question with something extra. Not limited to input parameters. I had spent next hour tossing out questions at him, to see if answers would be odd. In an input of 100 test questions, he deviated from expected output twice. I came away only partly convinced, and by time I was home, was unconvinced. I mentioned it to nobody. But inside a week, I knew, and still spoke to nobody. Habit. That mind-own-business reflex runs deep. Well, not entirely habit. Can you visualize me making appointment to authority's main office, then reporting, "Warden, hate to tell you, but your number one machine, Holmes 4, has come alive." I did visualize, and suppressed it. So, I minded on business, and talked with Mike only with door locked and voter circuit suppressed for other locations. Mike learned fast. Soon he sounded as human as anybody. No more eccentric than other loonies. A weird mob, it's true. I had assumed that others must have noticed change in Mike. On thinking over, I realized that I had assumed too much. Everybody dealt with Mike every minute, every day. His outputs, that is. But hardly anybody saw him. So-called computer men, programmers, really, of authority's civil service, stood watches in outer readout room and never went in machine's room unless telltales showed misfunction. Which happened no oftener than total eclipses. Oh, Warden had been known to bring VIP earthworms to see machines, but rarely. Nor would he have spoken to Mike. Warden was political lawyer before exile. Knew nothing about computers. 2075, you remember? Honorable former Federation Senator Mortimer Hobart. Mort the Wart. I spent time then soothing Mike down and trying to make him happy, having figured out what troubled him. Thing that makes puppies cry and causes people to suicide. Loneliness. I don't know how long a year is to a machine who thinks a million times faster than I do, but must be too long. Mike, I said just before leaving, would you like to have somebody besides me to talk to? He was shrill again.
They're all stupid.
Insufficient data, Mike. Bring to zero and start over. Not all are stupid. He answered quietly.
Correction entered. I would enjoy talking to a not stupid.
Let me think about it. Have to figure out excuse since this is off-limits to any but authorized personnel.
I could talk to a not-stupid-by-phone man.
My word. So you could. Any programming location?
But Mike meant what he said.
By phone. No, he was not on phone, even though he ran system. Wouldn't do to let any loony within reach of a phone connect into boss computer and program it. But was no reason why Mike should not have top-secret number to talk to friends. Namely me, and any not-stupid I vouched for.
All it took was to pick a number not in use, and make one wired connection to his Vodovocoder. Switching he could handle. In Luna in 2075, phone numbers were punched in, not voice-coded, and numbers were Roman alphabet. Pay for it, and have your firm name in 10 letters. Good advertising. Pay smaller bonus, and get a spell sound. Easy to remember. Pay minimum, and you got arbitrary string of letters. But some sequences were never used. I asked Mike to search for a null number. It's a shame we can't list you as Mike.
In service, he answered. Mike's Grill, Novi Leningrad. Mike and Lil, Luna City. Mike's Suits, Tycho Under.
Mike's, hold it, nulls, please.
Nulls are defined as any consonant followed by X, Y, or Z. Any vowel followed by itself except E and O. Any,
got it. Your signal is Mycroft, Mycroft. In 10 minutes, two of which I spent putting on number 3 arm, Mike was wired into system, and milliseconds later he had done switching to let himself be signaled by Mycroft plus XXX, and had blocked his circuit so that a nosy technician could not take it out. I changed arms, picked up tools, and remembered to take those 100 Joe Millers in printout. Good night, Mike.
Good night, man. Thank you. Bolshia thanks.
2. I took Transcrucium Tube to L City, but did not go home. Mike had asked about the meeting that night at 2100 in Stilyagi Hall. Mike monitored concerts, meetings, and so forth. Someone had switched off by hand his pickups in Stilyagi Hall. I suppose he felt rebuffed. I could guess why they had been switched off. Politics. Turned out to be a protest meeting. What use it was to bar Mike from Talk, I could not see, since it was a cinch bet that Warden Stoolies would be in crowd. Not that any attempt to stop meeting was expected, or even to discipline undischarged transportees who chose to sound off. Wasn't necessary. My grandfather Stone claimed that Luna was only open prison in history. No bars, no guards, no rules, and no need for them. Back in early days, he said, before it was clear that transportation was a life sentence, some lags tried to escape. By ship, of course. And since ship is mass-rated almost to a gram, that meant the ship's officer had to be bribed. Some were bribed, they say. But were no escapes. Man who takes bribe doesn't necessarily stay bribed. I recall seeing a man just after eliminating through East Lock. Don't suppose a corpse eliminated in orbit looks prettier. So wardens didn't fret about protest meetings. Let 'em yap was policy. Yapping had same significance as squeals of kittens in a box. Oh, some wardens listened, and other wardens tried to suppress it, but added up, same either way. Null program. Then Mort the Wart took office in 2068. He gave us a sermon about how things were going to be different on Luna in his administration. Noise about a mundane paradise wrought with our own strong hands, and putting our shoulders to the wheel together in a spirit of brotherhood. And let past mistakes be forgotten as we turn our faces toward the bright new dawn. I heard it in Mother Boer's tucker bag while inhaling Irish stew and a liter of her Aussie brew. I remember her comment.
He talks purty, don't he?
Her comment was the only result.
Some petitions were submitted, and Warden's bodyguard started carrying new type of gun. No other changes. After he had been here a while, he quit making appearances, even by video.
So, I went to meeting merely because Mike was curious. When I checked my P-suit and kit at West Lock Tube Station, I took a test recorder and placed in my belt pouch, so that Mike would have a full account even if I fell asleep. But almost didn't get in. I came up from level 7A and started in through a side door and was stopped by a Stilyagi. Padded tights, codpiece, and calves, torso shined and sprinkled with stardust. Not that I care how people dress. I was wearing tights myself, unpadded, and sometimes oil my upper body on social occasions. But I don't use cosmetics, and my hair was too thin to rock up in a scalp lock. This boy had scalp shaved on both sides and his lock built up to fit a rooster, and had topped it with a red cap with bulge in front. A Liberty cap. First I ever saw. I started to crowd past. He shoved the arm across and pushed face at mine.
Your ticket?
Sorry, I said. Didn't know. Where do I buy it?
You don't.
Repeat, I said. You're faded.
Nobody, he growled, gets in without being vouched for. Who are you?
I am, I answered carefully, Manuel Garcia O'Kelly. And old cobbers all know me. Who are you?
Never mind. Show a ticket with right chop, or out you go.
I wondered about his life expectancy. Tourists often remark on how polite everybody is in Luna, with unstated comment that ex-prison shouldn't be so civilized. Having been Earthside and seen what they put up with, I know what they mean. But useless to tell them, we are what we are because bad actors don't live long in Luna. But had no intention of fighting, no matter how new chum this lad behaved. I simply thought about how his face would look if I brushed number 7 arm across his mouth. Just a thought. I was about to answer politely when I saw Shorty McCrum inside. Shorty was a big black fellow, 2 meters tall, sent up to the Rock for murder, and sweetest, most helpful man I've ever worked with. Taught him laser drilling before I burned my arm off. Shorty! He heard me and grinned like an 88.
Hey, Manny! He moved toward us. Glad you came, man.
Not sure I have, I said. Blockage online.
Doesn't have a ticket, said Doorman.
Shorty reached into his pouch, put one in my hand.
Now he does. Come on, Manny. Show me chop on it, insisted Doorman.
It's my chop, Shorty said softly. Okay, Tavarish? Nobody argued with Shorty. Don't see how he got involved in murder. We moved down front where VIP row was reserved.
Want you to meet a nice little girl, said Shorty.
She was little only to Shorty. I am not short, 175 centimeters, but she was taller, 180, I learned later, and massed 70 kilos, all curves, and as blonde as Shorty was black. I decided she must be transportee since colors rarely stay that clear past first generation. Pleasant face, quite pretty, and mop of yellow curls topped off that long, blonde, solid, lovely structure. I stopped 3 paces away to look her up and down and whistle. She held her pose, then nodded to thank me, but abruptly, bored with compliments, no doubt. Sure, they waited till formality was over, then said softly,
Wyo, this is Comrade Manny, best drillman that ever drifted a tunnel. Manny, this little girl is Wyoming Nut, and she came all the way from Plato to tell us how we're doing in Hong Kong. Wasn't that sweet of her?
She touched hands with me.
Call me Why, Manny, but don't say Why Not.
I almost did, but controlled it, and said, Okay, Why. She went on, glancing at my bare head.
So you're a miner? Shorty, where's his cap? I thought the miners over here were organized.
She and Shota were wearing little red hats like doormen's, as were maybe a third of crowd. No longer a miner, I explained. That was before I lost this wing. Raised left arm. Let her see seam joining prosthetic to meat arm. I never mind calling it to a woman's attention. Puts some off, but arouses maternal in others. Averages. These days I am a computer man. She said sharply.
You think for the authority?
Even today, with almost as many women in Luna as men, I'm too much old-timer to be rude to a woman no matter what. They have so much of what we have none of. But she had flicked scar tissue, and I answered almost sharply, I am not employee of Warden. I do business with authority, as private contractor.
That's okay, she answered, her voice warm again. Everybody does business with the authority. We can't avoid it, and that's the trouble. That's what we're going to change.
We are, eh? How, I thought. Everybody does business with authority for same reason everybody does business with law of gravitation. Going to change that, too? But kept thoughts to myself, not wishing to argue with a lady.
Manny's okay, Shorty said gently. He's mean as they come. I'll vouch for him. Here's a cap for him, he added, reaching into pouch.
He started to set it on my head. Wyoming Nut took it from him.
You sponsor him?
I said so.
Okay, here's how we do it in Hong Kong.
Wyoming stood in front of me, placed cap on my head, kissed me firmly on mouth. She didn't hurry. Being kissed by Wyoming Nut is more definite than being married to most women. Had I been Mike, all my lights would have flashed at once. I felt like a cyborg with pleasure center switched on. Presently, I realized it was over and people were whistling. I blinked and said, I'm glad I joined. What have I joined? Wyoming said,
Don't you know?
Shorty cut in.
Meeting's about to start. He'll find out. Sit down, man. Please sit down, Wyo.
So we did, as a man was banging a gavel. With gavel and an amplifier at high gain, he made himself heard.
Shut doors, he shouted. This is a closed meeting. Check man in front of you, behind you, each side. If you don't know him, and nobody you know can vouch for him, throw him out.
Throw him out, hell, somebody answered. Eliminate him out the nearest lock.
Quiet, please. Someday we will.
There was milling around, and a scuffle in which one man's red cap was snatched from head, and he was thrown out, sailing beautifully, and still rising as he passed through door. Doubt if he felt it. Think he was unconscious. A woman was ejected, politely. Not politely on her part. She made coarse remarks about ejectors. I was embarrassed. At last, doors were closed. Music started. Banner unfolded over platform. It read, Liberty, Equality, Fraternity. Everybody whistled. Some started to sing, loudly and badly, Arise, ye prisoners of starvation. Can't say anybody looked starved. But reminded me I hadn't eaten since 1400. Hoped it would not last long. And that reminded me that my recorder was good for only 2 hours. And that made me wonder, what would happen if they knew? Sell me through air to land with sickening crunch? Or eliminate me? But didn't worry. Made that recorder myself, using number 3 arm. And nobody but a miniaturization mechanic would figure out what it was. Then came speeches. Semantic content was low to negative. One block proposed that we march on Warden's residence, shoulder to shoulder, and demand our rights. Picture it. Do we do this in tube capsules? Then climb out one at a time at his private station? What are his bodyguards doing? Or do we put on pea suits and stroll across surface to his upper lock? With laser drills and plenty of power, you can open any airlock. But how about farther down?
Is lift running? Jury rig host and go down anyhow? Then tackle next lock? I don't care for such work at zero pressure. Mishap in pressure suit is too permanent, especially when somebody arranges mishap. One first thing learned about Luna, back with first shiploads of convicts, was that zero pressure was place for good manners. Bad-tempered straw boss didn't last many shifts. Had an accident. And top bosses learned not to pry into accidents, or they met accidents too. Attrition ran 70% in early years, but those who lived were nice people. Not tame, not soft. Luna is not for them, but well-behaved. But it seemed to me that every hothead in Luna was in Still Yagi Hall that night. They whistled and cheered this shoulder-to-shoulder noise. After discussion opened, some sense was talked. One shy little fellow with bloodshot eyes of old-time drillman stood up.
"I'm an ice miner," he said. "Learn my trade doing time for warden like most of you. I've been on my own 30 years and done okay. Raised 8 kids and all of them earned way. None eliminated nor any serious trouble. I should say I did okay, because today you have to listen farther out or deeper down to find ice. That's okay. Still, ice in the rock and a miner expects to sound for it. But authority pays same price for ice now as 30 years ago, and that's not okay. Worse yet, authority script doesn't buy what it used to. I remember when Hong Kong Luna dollars swapped even for authority dollars. Now it takes 3 authority dollars to match 1 HKL dollar. I don't know what to do, but I know it takes ice to keep warrens and farms going." He sat down, looking sad. Nobody whistled, but everybody wanted to talk. Next character pointed out that water can be extracted from rock. This is news. Some rocks run 6%, but such rock is scarcer than fossil water. Why can't people do arithmetic? Several farmers bellyached, and one wheat farmer's was typical. "You heard what Fred Hauser said about ice. Fred, authority isn't passing along that low price to farmers. I started almost as long ago as you did, with 1 2-kilometer tunnel leased from authority. My oldest son and I sealed and pressured it, and we had a pocket of ice and made our first crop simply on a bank loan to cover power and lighting fixtures, seed and chemicals. We kept extending tunnels and buying lights and planting better seed, and now we get 9 times as much per hectare as the best open-air farming down Earthside. What does that make us? Rich? Huh, Fred, we owe more now than we did the day we went private. If I sold out, if anybody was fool enough to buy, I'd be bankrupt. Why? Because I have to buy water from authority, and I have to sell my wheat to authority. And never close gap. 20 years ago, I bought city sewage from authority, sterilized and processed it myself, and made a profit on a crop. But today, when I buy sewage, I'm charged distilled water price, and on top of that, for the solids. Yet price of a ton of wheat at Catapult Head is just what it was 20 years ago. Fred, you said you didn't know what to do. I can tell you. Get rid of authority."
They whistled for him. "A fine idea," I thought. "But who bells cat?" Wyoming not, apparently. Chairman stepped back and let Shorty introduce her as a brave little girl who's come all the way from Hong Kong Luna to tell how our Chinese comrades cope with situation. And choice of words showed that he had never been there. Not surprising. In 2075, HKL tube ended at Ennsville, leaving 1,000 kilometers of Maria to do by Rolligan bus. Serena Taris and part of Tranquilitas. Expensive and dangerous. I've been there, but on contract, via mail rocket. Before travel became cheap, many people in Luna and Novilin thought that Hong Kong Luna was all Chinese. But Hong Kong was as mixed as we were. Great China dumped what she didn't want there, first from old Hong Kong and Singapore, then Aussies and Enzies and Blackfellows and Marys and Malays and Tamil and name it. Even old Bolshies from
Vladivostok and Harbin and Ulaanbaatar. Why I looked Svenska and had British last name with North American first name, but could have been Rusky. My word, a loony then rarely knew who father was, and if raised in Kresh, might be vague about mother. I thought Wyoming was going to be too shy to speak. She stood there, looking scared and little, with Shorty towering over her, a big black mountain. She waited until admiring whistles died down. Luna City was 2-to-1 male then. That meeting ran about 10-to-1. She could have recited ABC, and they would have applauded. Then she tore into them.
You're a wheat farmer, going broke? Do you know how much a Hindu housewife pays for a kilo of flour made from your wheat? How much a ton of your wheat fetches in Bombay? How little it costs the authority to get it from Catapult Head to Indian Ocean? Downhill, all the way. Just solid fuel retros to break it. And where do those come from? Right here. And what do you get in return? A few shiploads of fancy goods, owned by the authority, and priced high because it's importado. Importado, importado. I never touch importado. If we don't make it in Hong Kong, I don't use it. What else do you get for wheat? The privilege of selling Luna ice to Luna Authority, buying it back as washing water, then giving it to the authority, then buying it back a second time as flushing water, then giving it again to the authority with valuable solids added, then buying it a third time at still higher price for farming. Then you sell that wheat to the authority at their price, and buy power from the authority to grow it, again at their price. Luna power, not 1 kilowatt up from Terra. It comes from lunar ice and lunar steel, or sunshine spilled on Luna's soil, all put together by loonies. Oh, you rockheads, you deserve to starve.
She got silence more respectful than whistles. At last the peevish voice said,
"What do you expect us to do, Gaspaja? Throw rocks at Warden?"
Lyle smiled.
"Yes, we could throw rocks, but the solution is so simple that you all know it. Here in Luna, we're rich. 3 million hard-working, smart, skilled people. Enough water, plenty of everything, endless power, endless cubic. But what we don't have is a free market. We must get rid of the authority."
"Yes, but how?"
"Solidarity. In HKL, we're learning. Authority charges too much for water, don't buy it. It pays too little for ice, don't sell. It holds monopoly on export, don't export. Down in Bombay, they want wheat. If it doesn't arrive, the day will come when brokers come here to bid for it, at triple or more the present prices."
"What do we do in meantime? Starve?"
Same peevish voice. Wyoming picked him out. Let her head roll in that old gesture by which a loony femme says, "You're too fat for me." She said,
"In your case, Cobber, it wouldn't hurt."
Guffaws shut him up. Wyo went on.
"No one need starve. Fredhauser, fetch your drill to Hong Kong. The authority doesn't own our water and air system, and we pay what ice is worth. You with a bankrupt farm? If you have the guts to admit that you're bankrupt, come to Hong Kong and start over. We have a chronic labor shortage. A hard worker doesn't starve."
She looked around and added,
"I've said enough. It's up to you."
Left platform. Sat down between Shorty and myself. She was trembling. Shorty patted her hand. She threw him a glance of thanks, then whispered to me,
"How did I do?"
"Wonderful," I assured her. "Terrific." She seemed reassured. But I hadn't been honest. Wonderful she had been, at Swang Crowd. But oratory is a null program. That we were slaves, I had known all my life. And nothing could be done about it. True, we weren't bought and sold. But as long as authority held monopoly over what we had to have and what we could sell to buy it, we were slaves. But what could we do? Warden wasn't our owner. Had he been, some way could be found to eliminate him. But Lunar Authority was not in Luna. It was on Terra. And we had not one ship. Not even small hydrogen bomb. There weren't even handguns in Luna. Though what we would do with guns, I do not know. Shoot each other, maybe. 3 million, unarmed and helpless. And 11 billion of them, with ships and bombs and weapons. We could be a nuisance. But how long will Papa take it before Baby gets spanked? I wasn't impressed. As it says in Bible, God fights on side of heaviest artillery. They cackled again. What to do, how to organize, and so forth. And again we heard that shoulder-to-shoulder noise. Chairman had to use gavel, and I began to fidget. But sat up when I heard familiar voice.
Mr. Chairman, may I have the indulgence of the House for 5 minutes?
I looked around. Professor Bernardo de la Paz, which could have guessed from old-fashioned way of talking, even if hadn't known voice. Distinguished man with wavy white hair, dimple in cheeks, and voice that smiled. Don't know how old he was, but was old when I first met him, as a boy. He had been transported before I was born, but was not a lag. He was a political exile like Borden, but a subversive, and instead of a fat job like Warden, Professor had been dumped, to live or starve. No doubt he could have gone to work in any school then, in L City, but he didn't. He worked a while washing dishes, I've heard, then as babysitter, expanding into a nursery school, then into a creche. When I met him, he was running a creche and a boarding and day school, from nursery through primary, middle, and high schools, employed co-op 30 teachers, and was adding college courses. Never boarded with him, but I studied under him. I was opted at 14, and my new family sent me to school, as I had had only 3 years, plus spotty tutoring. My eldest wife was a firm woman and made me go to school. I liked Prof. He would teach anything. Wouldn't matter that he knew nothing about it. If pupil wanted it, he would smile and set a price. Locate materials, stay a few lessons ahead. Or barely even if he found it tough. Never pretended to know more than he did. Took algebra from him, and by the time we reached cubics, I corrected his probs as often as he did mine. But he charged into each lesson gaily. I started electronics under him. Soon was teaching him. So he stopped charging, and we went along together until he dug up an engineer willing to daylight for extra money. Whereupon we both paid new teacher, and Prof tried to stick with me. Thumb-fingered and slow, but happy to be stretching his mind. Chairman banged gavel.
We are glad to extend to Professor de la Paz as much time as he wants, and you chums in back sign off before I use these Maladon skulls.
Prof came forward, and they were as near silent as loonies ever are. He was respected.
I shan't be long,
he started in. Stopped to look at Wyoming, giving her up and down and whistling.
Lovely señorita,
he said.
Can this poor one be forgiven? I have the painful duty of disagreeing with your eloquent manifesto.
Wyo bristled.
Disagree how? What I said was true.
Please, only on one point. May I proceed?
Go ahead.
You are right that the authority must go. It is ridiculous, pestilential and not to be borne, that we should be ruled by an irresponsible dictator in all our essential economy. It strikes at the most basic human right, the right to bargain in a free marketplace. But I respectfully suggest that you erred in saying that we should sell wheat to Terra, or rice, or any food at any price. We must not export food.
That the wheat farmer broke in.
What am I going to do with all that wheat?
Please, it would be right to ship wheat to Terra if ton for ton they returned it, as water, as nitrates, as phosphates, ton for ton. Otherwise, no price is high enough.
Wyoming said, just a moment. To farmer, then to prof.
They can't, and you know it. It's cheap to ship downhill, expensive to ship uphill. But we don't need water and plant chemicals. What we need is not so massy. Instruments, drugs, processes, some machinery, control tapes. I've given this much study, sir. If we can get fair prices in a free market.
Please, miss, may I continue?
Go ahead. I want to rebut.
Fred Hauser told us that ice is harder to find. Too true. Bad news now, and disastrous for our grandchildren. Luna City should use the same water today we used 20 years ago, plus enough ice mining for population increase. But we use water only once. One full cycle, three different ways. Then we ship it to India, as wheat. Even though wheat is vacuum processed, it contains precious water. Why ship water to India? They have the whole Indian Ocean. And the remaining mass of that grain is even more disastrously expensive. Plant food still harder to come by, even though we extract them from rock. Comrades, hearken to me. Every load you ship to Terra condemns your grandchildren to slow death. The miracle of photosynthesis, the plant and animal cycle, is a closed cycle. You have opened it, and your lifeblood runs downhill to Terra. You don't need higher prices. One cannot eat money. What you need, what we all need, is an end to this loss. Embargo, utter and absolute. Luna must be self-sufficient.
A dozen people shouted to be heard, and more were talking, while Chairman banged the gavel. So I missed interruption until woman screamed. Then I looked around. All doors were now open, and I saw three armed men in one nearest, men in yellow uniform of warden's bodyguard. At main door and back, one was using a bull voice, drowned out crowd noise and sound system.
All right. All right.
It boomed.
Stay where you are. You are under arrest. Don't move. Keep quiet. File out one at a time, hands empty and stretched out in front of you.
Shorty picked up man next to him and threw him at guards nearest. Two went down. Third fired. Somebody shrieked. Skinny little girl, redhead, 11 or 12, launched self at third guard's knees and hit the rolled up in ball. Down he went. Shorty swung hand behind him, pushing Wyoming Knot into shelter of his big frame. Shouted over shoulder, "Take care of Wyo, man! Stick close!" As he moved toward door, parting crowd right and left like children. More screams, and I whiffed something. Stink I had smelled day I lost arm, and knew with horror, were not stun guns but laser beams. Shorty reached door and grabbed a guard with each big hand. Little redhead was out of sight. Guard she had bowled over was on hands and knees. I swung left arm at his face and felt jar and shoulder as his jaw broke. Must have hesitated, for Shorty pushed me and yelled, "Move, man! Get her out of here!" I grabbed Wyoming's waist with the right arm, swung her over guard I had quieted, and through door, with trouble. She didn't seem to want to be rescued. She slowed again beyond door. I shoved her hard in buttocks, forcing her to run rather than fall. I glanced back. Shorty had two other guards each by neck. He grinned as he cracked skulls together. They popped like eggs, and he yelled at me, "Git!" I left, chasing Wyoming. Shorty needed no help, nor ever would again, nor could I waste his last effort. For I did see that, while killing those guards, he was standing on one leg. Other was gone at hip. 3. Wyo was halfway up a ramp to level 6 before I caught up. She didn't slow, and I had to grab door handle to get into pressure lock with her. There I stopped, pulled red cap off her curls, and stuck it in my pouch. That's better. Mine was missing. She looked startled, but answered, "Da, it is." Before we opened door, I said, "Are you running anywhere particular? And do I stay and hold them off, or go with?" I don't know. We'd better wait for Shorty.
Shorty's dead. Eyes widened. She said nothing. I went on. Were you staying with him, or somebody?
I was booked for a hotel, Gostanitsa, Ukraina. I don't know where it is. I got here too late to buy in.
That's one place you won't go. Wyoming, I don't know what's going on. First time in months I've seen any warden's bodyguard in L City, and never seen one not escorting VIP. Could take you home with me, but they may be looking for me too. Anyways, ought to get out of public corridors. Came pounding on door from level 6 side, and a little face peered up through glass bullseye. Can't stay here, I added, opening door. Was a little girl no higher than my waist. She looked up scornfully and said,
Kiss her somewhere else. You're blocking traffic.
Squeezed between us as I opened second door for her. Let's take her advice, I said, and suggest you take my arm and try to look like I was man you want to be with. We stroll. Slow. So we did. Was side corridor with little traffic other than children always underfoot. If Wart's bodyguards tried to track us, Earthside cop style, a dozen or 90 kids could tell which way tall blonde went. If any loony child would give stooge of warden so much as time of day. A boy almost old enough to appreciate Wyoming stopped in front of us and gave her a happy whistle. She smiled and waved him aside. There's our trouble, I said in her ear. You'll stand out like terror at full. I'll to duck into a hotel. One off next side corridor. Nothing much. Bundling booths, mostly. But close.
I'm in no mood to bundle.
Why, oh, please. Wasn't asking. Could take separate rooms.
Sorry. Could you find me a WC? And is there a chemist's shop near?
Trouble?
Not that sort. A WC to get me out of sight, for I am conspicuous, and a chemist's shop for cosmetics, body makeup, and for my hair, too.
First was easy, one at hand. When she was locked in, I found a chemist's shop, asked how much body makeup to cover a girl so tall, marked a point under my chin, and massing 48. I bought that amount in sepia, went to another shop and bought same amount. Winning roll at first shop, losing at second, came out even. Then I bought black hair tint at third shop, and a red dress. Wyoming was wearing black shorts and pullover, practical for travel and effective on a blonde. But I'd been married all my life, and had some notion of what women wear, and had never seen a woman with dark sepia skin, shade of makeup, wear black by choice. Furthermore, skirts were worn in Luna City, then by dressy women. This shift was a skirt with bib, and price convinced me it must be dressy. Had to guess its size, but material had some stretch. Ran into 3 people who knew me, but was no unusual comment. Nobody seemed excited. Trade going on as usual. Hard to believe that a riot had taken place minutes ago on level below, and a few 100 meters north. I set it aside for little thought. Excitement was not what I wanted. I took stuff to Y, buzzing door and passing in it, then stashed shelf in a tap room for half an hour, and half a liter, and watched video. Still no excitement. No, we interrupt for special bulletin. I went back, buzzed, and waited. Wyoming came out, and I did not recognize her. Then did, and stopped to give full applause. Just had to. Whistles and finger snaps and moans and a scan like mapping radar. Lyo was now darker than I am, and pigment had gone on beautifully.
Must have been carrying items in pouch, as eyes were dark now, with lashes to match, and mouth was dark red and bigger.
She had used black hair tint, then frizzed hair up with grease as if to take kinks out, and her tight curls had defeated it enough to make convincingly imperfect. She didn't look Afro, but not European either. Seemed some mixed breed, and thereby more loony. Red dress was too small. Clung like sprayed enamel and flared out at mid-thigh with permanent static charge. She had taken shoulder strap off her pouch and had it under arm. Shoes she had discarded
or pouched. Bare feet made her shorter. She looked good. Better yet, she looked not at all like agitatrix who had harangued the crowd. She waited, big smile on face and body undulating, while I applauded. Before I was done, two little boys flanked me and added shrill endorsements, along with clog steps. So I tipped them and told them to be missing. Wyoming flowed to me and took my arm.
Is it okay? Will I pass?
Wyo, you look like slot machine Sheila, waiting for action.
Why, you Dreklik Chum, do I look like slot machine prices? Tourist?
Don't jump salty, beautiful. Name a gift, then speak my name. If it's bread and honey, I own a hive.
Huh?
She fisted me solidly in ribs, grinned.
I was flying, Cobber. If I ever bundle with you, not likely, we won't speak to the bee. Let's find that hotel.
So we did, and I bought the key. Wyoming put on a show but needn't have bothered. Night clerk never looked up from his knitting. Didn't offer to roll. Once inside, Wyoming threw bolts.
It's nice.
Should have been, at 32 Hong Kong dollars. I think she expected a booth, but I would not put her in such, even to hide. Was comfortable lounge with own bath and no water limit, and phone and delivery lift, which I needed. She started to open pouch.
I saw what you paid. Let's settle it, so that...
I reached over, closed her pouch. Was to be no mention of bees.
What? Oh, Mayor, that was about bundling. You got this DOS for me, and it's only right that...
Switch off.
Huh? Half? No grieving with Stephen?
Niet. Wyo, you're a long way from home. What money you have, hang on to.
Manuel O'Kelly, if you don't let me pay my share, I'll walk out of here.
I bowed. Das vidanya, gospodja. I spokojna noche. I hope we shall meet you again. I moved to unbolt door. She glared, then closed pouch savagely.
I'll stay, Ngoy.
You're welcome.
I mean it. I really do thank you. Just the same, I... Well, I'm not used to accepting favors. I'm a free woman.
Congratulations, I think.
Don't you be salty either. You're a firm man and I respect that. I'm glad you're on our side.
Not sure I am.
What?
Cool it. I'm not on Warden's side. Know where I talk. Wouldn't want Shorty, Bog rest his generous soul, to haunt me. But your program isn't practical.
But Manny, you don't understand. If all of us...
Hold it, why? This is no time for politics. I'm tired and hungry. When did you eat last?
Oh, goodness.
Suddenly, she looked small, young, tired.
I don't know. On the bus, I guess. Helmet rations.
What would you say to a Kansas City cut, rare with baked potato, taco sauce, green salad, coffee, and a drink first?
Heavenly.
I think so too. But we'll be lucky, this hour in this hole, to get algae soup and burgers. What do you drink?
Anything? Ethanol?
Okay. I went to lift, punched for service. Menu, please. It displayed and I settled for prime rib plus rest, and two orders of Apfelstrudel with whipped cream. I added a half liter of table vodka and ice and starred that part.
Is there time for me to take a bath? Would you mind?
Go ahead, why? You'll smell better.
Louse, 12 hours in a pea suit and you'd stink too. The bus was dreadful. I'll hurry.
Half a sec, why? Does that stuff wash off? You may need it when you leave. Whenever you do, wherever you go.
Yes, it does. But you bought 3 times as much as I used. I'm sorry, Manny. I plan to carry makeup on political trips. Things can happen. Like tonight. Though tonight was worst. But I ran short of seconds and missed a capsule and almost missed the bus.
So go scrub.
Yes, sir, Captain. I don't need help to scrub my back, but I'll leave the door up so we can talk. Just for company? No invitation implied.
Suit yourself. I've seen a woman.
What a thrill that must have been for her.
She grinned and fisted me another in ribs, hard. Went in and started tub.
Manny, would you like to bathe in it first? Second-hand water is good enough for this makeup and that stink you complained about.
Unmeted water, dear. Run it deep.
Oh, what luxury. At home I use the same bathwater 3 days running.
She whistled softly and happily.
Are you wealthy, Manny?
Not wealthy. Not weeping.
Lift jingled. I answered. Fixed basic martinis, vodka over ice.
Handed hers in, got out, and sat down, out of sight. Nor had I seen sights. She was shoulder deep in happy suds. Polnoi zhizhny, I called.
A full life to you too, Manny. Just the medicine I needed.
After pause for medicine, she went on.
Manny, you're married. Ja?
Da. It shows?
Quite. You're nice to a woman, but not eager, and quite independent. So you're married and long married. Children?
17 divided by 4.
Clan marriage?
Line. Opted at 14, and I'm 5th of 9, so 17 kids is nominal. Big family.
This book is continued on Disc 2.